This morning we're going to look a little bit about the lost coin. And we read again in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, these words. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost coin." In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. Most of us have possessions that are special to us. They may not be of great value, but they might have sentimental value. Anybody got anything like that? Anybody got something that is put in the cupboard or the cabinet, fetched out, dusted, and then put back? And sometimes you look at it and you think, why, oh, why am I keeping it? My mum, for a long time, kept a little pot dish that I made in pottery class. And it was blue on the inside and yellow on the outside. And it sat on the kitchen window, and she used to put little buttons in it, white buttons off shirts when she was doing the washing. There were other things on there that my brothers and sisters had made. And we kept saying to Mom, every time she decorated, do you not think it's time to? She said, they're special. They're special. So they went back after they'd been dusted and washed again. And sometimes these are important things. They're important to us. They're reminders of places, of people, of special events. And when we misplace or lose them, it causes us some distress. And in this parable, that's what we find. There was distress caused because the coin was lost. Some time ago, I was given my grandfather's pocket watch, which I kept safe in a drawer for many years. But in our move to Coventry, I lost it. And it pains me that I lost it. I remember what it said inside. It said, "Presented to Trevor Edwards by Salem Baptist Church, Argoid, South Wales, 1913. I've never really found out what it was he was given this watch for, but he would only have been quite young when he was given it. And to me, it was quite special. Now, it wasn't gold, it was silver, and sometimes it looked a bit tarnished because silver goes black when you don't clean it. And yet, on the other hand, they tell you that you shouldn't clean it too often because you rub off the silver. So you take away something of the value. I sometimes think it might just still turn up because it was only small in a little small box. And that's probably why it got lost, because it was probably in the bottom of a box and it was wrapped in paper and it just felt like the wrapping paper itself. Last week, when we were here, we looked at the first part of this parable and the lost sheep. And today we look at the lost coin. Jesus offered these parables to reveal his commitment to saving the lost and his love for them. Jesus loves the lost as much as he loves the saved. God wants us to know that. He wants us to know that we're all precious in his sight. And there are times when we all feel lost. We feel lost because things haven't gone perhaps the way that we thought they should ought to go. Or maybe we haven't been treated by someone in a fair and appropriate way. Sometimes it's difficult. Once the woman had found the coin, she called her friends and neighbours together in order to celebrate. And verse 8 says, Oh, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp and sweep the house and search diligently until she finds it? What the woman was looking for was a coin that could have been worth a day's wages or even more. We don't know what that coin was of value. It might have been a coin that was addressed to a piece of jewellery. But what we know is that she had 10 pieces of silver. Some believe that it was part of a wedding dowry, that it was something that was kept to one side, something that had been given by her father. It may well have been turned into some sort of head wear. Maybe they were joined together to make a string of beads. And it was said that if a woman ever lost one of those dowry things, it would not be considered right. It would consider that something had happened, that she had become adulterous or something similar. And so in some ways, for this woman, to find that piece of silver was more important. She needed to find it to restore it and to make it complete. It was lost. And the piece that was left just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Each of the coins were of great value. If they were coins and denominal, they would provide security, possibly into an older age. Each coin was of great value. They'd provide that security and would bring her into glory. Each coin was of equal value. The 10 coins that I had this morning were all worth 5p. None of them was worth any more. Having given them away, I realised I don't have any more 5p's, so I might have to go up a little bit out of my pocket. But Jesus is seeking to make a point about the value of each individual. He's seeking to make a point about you and me, about how precious we are in his sight. You know, do we really believe that this morning, that we are precious? We started watching a little bit of the Thornburns last night. Anybody watched it over the years? I don't know if that makes us sad that we have to keep going back that far. But then we look at the ones that are around us at the moment and it's all guns and violence, and it's not what you really want on a nice quiet Saturday evening. Money wasn't quiet with our granddaughter with us, but never mind. There's something about a single coin that can create so much concern. There is about a human being who is lost can create that amount of concern. It may not have bothered anybody else, the fact that she'd lost, but it mattered to her. And she mattered to God. This Pharisee saw little value in sinful people. But Jesus cared for them just like he did the religious. Jesus places no value different on us because of who we are, because of our status, because of our wealth, because of our intelligence or lack of it, for the type of house that we live in or we don't. He just looks at us as who we are. And he says, we are equal. We are equal. And when something of that equality and equal bit is missing, it's not complete. How many of you have set out to do a jigsaw? And you get it all there laid out, 1,000+ pieces. And you get to the end. Sweep the floor. Keep looking. I bet it's gone up the Hoover. The jigsaw's not complete, is it? All that effort has been put in, but it's not complete. I like to do jigsaws, but there's no point in trying to do one in our house with a dog because it wouldn't last 2 minutes on the table. But in actual fact is, that dog is part of us and part of our family. So in actual fact, it does have a role within our lives. So at some point, this woman has discovered the coin is missing. She has the value of the other nine, but she valued the one that was lost equally. And so it is with God. Jesus emphasizes the concern for one lost soul. While many believed, others didn't. There were those who still needed to hear the message of Jesus Christ. They still needed to hear the gospel message. And today we have that same concern. That same concern that we need to spread the gospel message of truth and love. We look at what we see on our television screens in the last few days about the concern with Ukraine and what is likely or could happen there. Even this morning in the news, which I always check now on a Sunday morning before coming out, they're saying that they could attack Ukraine at any time, any moment. By the time we leave this place, it could have happened. And so we need to pray against these things. And we need to know that in the leaders of nations, they need to know about the love of Jesus. They need to know what it is to give their lives over and to commit and to follow the gospel message. We need to share our faith with those who have not been saved. Praying for family and friends. Things that are closer to home. You know, I think sometimes to have a conversation about faith is more difficult with family and friends. And there's friends who acknowledge the fact that, you know, you go to church. And they accept that. But somehow, to try and get round to having the conversation that we ought to have is far more difficult. In some ways, we don't want to spoil a friendship. And in some ways, you know, is that friendship of value? Of course it is. And sometimes it may be even of more value than the friendship we have with our Christian friends. Because with our Christian friends, they know where they're going. They know who Jesus is. They know about the power of the Holy Spirit. For our friends, sometimes, they don't know. But they need to be brought back. For they are lost and need to be found. And in verse 9, we read, "And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin.'" There is that sense of rejoicing when we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. But he goes on to say in verse 10, "In the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." When we celebrate with those who turn to Christ, really realizing that Christ has died for them, we share their joy. We share the joy of coming around the table, of reminding ourselves of what Christ did for us. Christ brought us from loss into gain. He gave his life on the cross. Broken body, shed blood. And when we take it, we should celebrate and give thanks. Because each time we take it, we remind ourselves that in times we have been lost. We've not been in relationship. There's times when we're somewhere out there in the world, along with the world. I wonder how many celebrate that Christ died for them. And we remind ourselves that at baptism, that we rejoice with those who go through the waters. We rejoice with those who come into the life of the church in different ways. How well do we remember our own baptisms or our own coming into membership or confirmation, wherever it was? Is it significant in our lives? Or is it like put in the drawer to one side and only comes out now and again? I'm not being critical of people here because I find myself sometimes in the same way. There are sometimes when I'm thinking like, I really should be praying about this, but I'll do it later. And sadly, later never comes. You know, they often say that the worst time to pray is when we go to bed. And we get in and we snuggle down because it's dark nights, cold nights, and we start to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Amen. We might think that we've done it. We might think that we've participated. But in actual fact is, we've just turned away. But it is about sharing joy. And when we, you know, have times together, is the times when we could invite others to share with us in our Christian journey or in the life of the church. How difficult it is sometimes for the church to become one rather than divided and lost. In that verse 10 where it says there's much rejoicing, the woman is representative of what happens when someone comes to Christ in salvation. The angels rejoice before the Lord when a lost sinner is saved by grace. Imagine that rejoicing in heaven. Jesus came to earth to die for our sins so that we might be saved. And he continues to seek out the lost. The parable has a simple but profound message. We are all born to sin, separated by God, separated from God, in need of restoration. For me personally, I'm glad that the Lord found me and helped me to understand that he provides for all my needs. I was lost, but Jesus found me. My life could have been completely different. It could have actually been more around the pub and the club. Because that's where I used to find my friends. But things changed. Jesus entered into my life and turned it around. And perhaps many of us can share that sort of experience of being lost, of not being sure where they were. But I know one thing for certain. I don't get from God everything I want. I don't get from God everything I need. But I get that assurance of his love. And the fact that he listens. He listens to what I've got to say. And he answers according to his will and purpose. He knows what my needs are. And he knows what all our needs are. Sometimes we think we know better though. And we take it upon ourselves. And so I ask this morning, quite simply, have you received Christ as your personal Saviour? For he is the only means of salvation and that hope of an eternal life, a place in heaven with him. He loves you and wants to save you by his grace. Come to him. Come to him this morning. If he's dealing with your heart this morning, give your life over to him. Let us rejoice and acknowledge that God is working his purpose out through Christ Jesus. He loves you and he wants to save you by his grace. Jesus is seeking the lost. Are you ready? Are you ready and willing to give your life over to him? And you may actually have said, I gave to my life to Christ, 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago. And that is true. But God still seeks us to come back and to do more and more and more because the work for the kingdom never ends. I thought retirement meant you finished at 65 and that was it. But in the work for the kingdom, you never retire, for there's always work to be done. Jesus is seeking the lost. Are you ready to give him? Let's just be quiet for a moment. In a moment of quiet, give your life over to him. maybe for the first time. Or maybe just acknowledge again everything that God has done for you. You see, he's waiting for the rejoicing with the company in heaven when we acknowledge him as Lord and Saviour. Lord, we ask you to bless us. We seek and you find.